Good morning. Wow. Let me read you something encouraging. Keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And the door is opened to everyone who knocks. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? And not what I planned on sharing this morning, but I was just overwhelmed as we sang the song about the cross, just at the goodness of the Father, just how generous His heart is. I think about, as I've been gone these last couple of weeks, and just as my heart has longed for, you know, time with my wife and my kids, and as my heart has longed for you guys, like it always does when I'm away. That's always one of my great encouragements that God really has called me to be one of the leaders here, is that whenever I'm not here, I wish I was. And I just ache to give everybody hugs and anyways. But the Father, His heart is just so generous. And it really is His heart to bless us and to see us do well and to be encouraged, to see us whole, to see us have joy, to see us full of hope, to see us know who we are in Him. And He's just a good, 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 good dad, isn't He? So let's just be thankful for that for a minute. I'll pray, and maybe you pray too, and let's just take a minute and just thank the Father for just being so generous, so good. Father, we love You. You're so good. You're so generous. You are so outrageously generous with Your kids. You don't like any of Your kids better than You like any of the other ones. You want to pour out Your blessing on all of us equally. You give all of us everything You have. You've adopted us as sons and daughters into Your family when we were orphans, when we had been abandoned, when we had abandoned You. You've given us everything, and we just say thank You. We just come before You this morning, Father, with hearts full of thanksgiving. And we just say thank You. We love You so much. We love You so much. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share a few thoughts this morning and just kind of bring to some closure our 3 weeks of kind of vision for this year before we launch into Impact Sunday next week, which is when we're going to give everybody an opportunity to see what it is that God's doing through us. It's almost impossible to get the picture here in a Sunday celebration because some of our house churches aren't at every Sunday celebration. Some of them kind of rotate in and out. And we just can't have every single house church come up and share their deal every week. But we want to give everybody an opportunity to see how the kingdom is advancing through this community. And if you're not connected, we want to give you every opportunity to get connected this year. And so that's going to happen next week. It'll be fun. You'll just have an opportunity to hear from everyone, visit different house churches, and just see what's cooking. Does that sound good? Lots of information all over the place and on the website and all that good stuff. Raise your hand if you'll be here next week for that action. All right. 99%. Good. So that's what's going on next week. I have been out for a couple of weeks in New Zealand. I'm going to share with you some pictures from there here in just a minute. Not like those kind, but just some. Yeah, Alex and Lance on the beach. No. But I got back last night at about 10 o'clock, and I brought back from New Zealand a wicked case of strep throat. So two things to share with you about that. I mean, my favorite thing about Sunday mornings is I've got some really good friends of mine. One's named Ellen and one's named Lily, and they always come and give me the biggest hugs on Sunday morning. And today I've had to be like, you know, I can't touch you. And so you guys know I'm a hugger and a handshaker and everything else. And so, you know, it's not a new ministry technique that I'm using this morning. It's just that I probably shouldn't be here, but I just couldn't stay away, could I? Here's the other really encouraging thing, though. Yesterday morning when I woke up, I mean, it felt like somebody was stabbing me in the throat. This morning when I woke up, it didn't feel much different. And just during worship, I just took a couple of swallows, and I mean, I just barely feel anything. And I really believe the Lord's given me some healing just to be able to share this morning. And I just want to give him glory for that. Yeah, but I still won't hug anybody this morning. Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. Is that right? When was the parade, or when will the parade be in Oklahoma City, the march, I should say? Anybody know? I mean, it normally is tomorrow, but it seemed like I heard that it was going to be on the weekend this year. So it didn't happen this weekend? It's tomorrow. Okay. Is it like you meet at the Ellison Library on 23rd still? At what time? Does anybody know? Okay, there's a parade at 2. There's usually a march first thing in the morning, then there's usually a parade in the afternoon, and in between there's usually a thing maybe at Bricktown where people speak and stuff. Anyways, it'll be in the paper today, right? But I just want to remind us, normally I like to take this opportunity to really preach on civil rights and just God's heart for all that stuff. Not going to do that this year. But please, 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 brothers and sisters, I mean, this is such an important holiday for us to tell our kids the story of the civil rights movement in this country, tell our kids God's heart for marginalized people all over the world. Racism is still the spiritual stronghold over our world. I mean, most of the fighting, the death, the hatred, the suffering all over the world is a direct result of racism. And racism only comes out of the heart of Satan himself. And so for us to be able to take, you know, the occasion to talk to each other and to our kids about, you know, the history of the civil rights movement in our country, in Oklahoma City, the fact that racism still exists, and the fact that we really, really want to pray and do the things that we can to continue to say, no, you know, it's never going to be okay with us as the people of God for racism to exist in our communities, in our city, in our schools. It will never be okay. That in the majority-minority communities in Oklahoma City are the poorest performing schools. That's totally unacceptable for the people of God. And so let's lead the charge against that. It's unacceptable that Oklahoma is still the state that ranks the highest in incarcerating black women per capita. And I think that's true for minorities in general. So this is a big deal for us as followers of Jesus, to say we want to pray against racism, we want to pray for unity, and we want to be involved however we can. And anyways, I encourage you, look at the paper today, see how you can be involved, see how you can become exposed to what's going on. And also, take some time and find some of Martin Luther King Jr.'s writings and read those to your kids and interact around that stuff tomorrow. So don't just take the day off from school, kids that are still in here. There's one of mine. Take some time also to really make that an important day. Cool? All right, a couple of pictures from New Zealand before we do some vision stuff. One, about once a year, I read about a book every 2 weeks, probably average, maybe an average a little bit more than that, and about one book a year, I think. Boy, that's one that all of our leaders need to read that needs to be a part of our library, church, you know, our bookstore at the church. And so anyways, on this trip, I found one that I think is going to be really significant for us this year called The Book That Transforms Nations by Lauren Cunningham. And this book will make you fall in love with your Bible again. And I love books like that and just tell story after story of the power of God's Word to transform whole nations. And you'll love it. It's easy to read. So it'll be in the bookstore as soon as we can get them in. And for those of you who are book weirdos like me, rush off and get it before then. You'll love it. So I always meet interesting people on planes on these trips. And I did this time too, but I'm not going to tell you that one. But I do want you to know about Cyril, the dancing vicar. You know what a vicar is?
Yeah.
That's a pastor. So on my first night in New Zealand, I had the opportunity to pray, offer prayer for healing. And a gentleman walked up to me and said, "My name's Cyril and my left elbow hurts." And so I began to pray for him that the Lord would just come and heal his elbow, and I kind of watched him, and it was an interesting old man, and I tend to really like old people anyways, so I was just kind of drawn to him, and just kind of quiet and reserved, small New Zealander, and so I was sitting in what they called the leader's lounge, place where all the pastors would kind of gather and stuff, and in comes Cyril, and he sits down next to me, and just the sweetest, humblest man begins to ask me questions about who I am and all that stuff, and just say really things. Oh, goodness. So major disinfecting of the microphone after the service today. So I said, "Well, who are you? What's your story?" And I got to pray with you last night, and he said, "Well, Lance," he said, 30 years, he said, "I've been a pastor most of my life," he said, "but 30 years ago, I found intimacy with the Holy Spirit," and he said, "it changed my life," and he said, "since then, I've become known as the dancing vicar," he said, he said, "I just discovered the grace of Jesus Christ, and just his forgiveness, his mercy, his love." And he said, "I just can't get over it." He said, "I love to worship. I love to pray. I've been retired now for many years, but I still try and pour into about 3 congregations." And I just sat there and thought, "Oh, Lord, that's what I want to be when I grow up." And I was reminded of Philippians 1, second part of verse 6, where it says, "He who began this work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." And I just thought, you know, for people who know Jesus, life just gets better and better and better because we become more and more like him, you know. And we're never done impacting people's lives and loving on people and falling more in love with Jesus. That night during worship, sure enough, I look over and there's Cyril. No shoes. No one in New Zealand wears shoes. It's just a cultural thing. No shoes, Bermuda shorts, little bitty old Kiwi man, Hawaiian kind of a shirt, and he was just dancing before the Lord to beat Betsy, and it was just awesome. I'll carry that picture with me forever. Second picture I would share with you is Sushi on the Lawn. I went and spent a couple of days with the guys at St. Paul's Church in Auckland, and I'll just remind you guys, we probably don't talk about this enough, but we're a part of a network of churches all over the world who really are deeply committed to give the church away to lay people and to see mission go forth through the gifts and vision and context that the Lord has placed you guys, not just what the pastors and the popes and the priests want people to do. And one of those churches is St. Paul's, Auckland. If you went there and said, "Hey, I'm from Bridgeway," they'd say, "Oh, well, we know you guys." And there are churches like that in Denmark and in the UK and in Western Europe and Eastern Europe. It's really encouraging to be a part of a network of brothers and sisters like that. But we had done a couple of days worth of ministry, and they said, well, we're going to have lunch now. And so we went out on the lawn in front of the church, and you guys would love it there. It's an old cathedral right downtown in Auckland, but they've pulled out all the pews and everything so that they can pack in as many 20-somethings as will fit in there. And so if this is the cathedral, all the chairs are kind of along there here, and here's the stage. And a bunch of guys just like you just going for it in worship and really affecting that city and the arts and lots of other things. But we go out onto the lawn, and they've just got a bunch of sushi sitting out. And I just thought, you know, the thing that unites this network really is sushi. No. But is this. And it's something that it's something you have, and it's hospitality. And it's the heart of Jesus in Matthew 25, where he talks about, you know, I was hungry and you fed me, and you welcomed me into your home. I was naked and you clothed me. It's that gospel of hospitality. And I just thought about so many people in this community who just have the spiritual ability to welcome people into your life, into your home, and using food and drink and your warm heart do world-changing stuff. And so I just was reminded of that, of just the power of hospitality and how that changes lives in New Zealand and in India and all over the world. That may be the sweetest expression of the gospel. Does that resonate with you guys at all? Do you understand what you have in that? Susan Munkers, I mean, it is so powerful. Do you guys realize, and I know I'm rambling a little bit, but this is so important to get. This community really, in many ways, was built on the gift of hospitality of people who said, we're willing to open our homes and our ovens and our fridges, you know, to a bunch of young people and just let them hang with us. And there still is no more powerful ministry than having people in your home, around your table. And why is sushi significant? Because of this. They could have ordered pizza and that would have been fine. But it was like, we want to be outrageously hospitable to these guys that have come from the States to minister to us. Anyway, I just loved it. In a third picture, last part of our trip, we were involved in it was the most bizarre thing. Up in the mountains of New Zealand, and yeah, it really looks like all the Lord of the Rings stuff. I mean, no digital enhancement there. I mean, that's what the deal looks like. So we're up in the mountains, and we're at this kind of tent revival deal. It was like something out of the American frontier. I mean, but literally a huge canvas tent. And it was kind of a family camp thing where grandparents would come with, you know, their grandkids and their children, and whole generations would come, and there'd be teaching during the day and fun stuff for the kids. But everybody would gather together at night under this big tent and just go for it and worship. And I'll just never forget one night a bishop. Now, I've never met a bishop before. Seems like a big deal to me. But I'd become friends with this bishop, Bishop Richard, and he was an earring-wearing, Hawaiian shirt-wearing Kiwi bishop. And he preached a message on grace. Oh, my gosh, you guys. You know, you ever hear someone preach on grace and you believe that they really believe that stuff? And he just reminded us of how wonderful Jesus Christ is, how we have everything through his death and his resurrection, how there's nothing that we're lacking. And at the end of the deal, the worship team just began to play Amazing Grace, but they did it in this kind of like, almost kind of Negro spiritual style. I mean, it was just weird, but really cool. And I'm on the front row, and I look over, and there are these old women, you know, either just doing this business or down on their knees. And I look over to my right, and there's this high school kid, and he's all, you know, doing this deal, and that wasn't bad. And And of course, I'm just, you know, a gusher. But I just thought, wow, what a privilege that we can go anywhere in the world. And when someone starts talking about and singing about who we are in Jesus, what we have in Jesus, what we offer people in Jesus, it just unites us together. And among generations, among nationalities, all of it, just incredible. Anyways, there's a couple of pictures for you from the trip. Another picture. Me about 15 years ago sitting at a desk in the business that I was involved in at the time. Kind of that 80s office look. Some of you probably still work in places like that. Everything very industrial, and I still remember the fake plant in the corner that just looked like a fake plant, and but everybody had them. And I remember the way my desk was sitting, and I remember I had my Bible open to the book of Acts. I even can recall looking at the wall. The door was closed. It was very early in the morning. I was just spending some time with the Lord. I began to read in the book of Acts. And I read this. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And he says, "No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." Skip to verse 41. "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all, and they joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly, shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved." And I have a conscious memory of saying, "Lord, does that happen anywhere today? Is it really your heart that everyone gets to play in your church? Does it really happen today where young people and old people, men and women, gather together in homes and in marketplaces and do all this stuff? Could that really be true?" And honestly, it was just a few weeks after that where the Lord said the words to me that sent Stacy and I on the journey that lands us here all these years later. But the answer was, yes, this is what I'm doing in the world today. It's the thing that this church is built on, always has been, always will be, is how do you be a community where Jesus is at the center? Everyone gets to participate according to who God made them to be, according to the places that God put them. And so we've just taken a couple of weeks at the beginning of the year to just say, okay, remember, guys, what we're going for, why we're going for it, how we're going for it. Last week, I didn't hear what Alex shared about why we're structured the way we are, why we do house church and D group and all that. But I know what he said. So I just want to take a few minutes today and just kind of bring everything back to the center. But I was reminded, while I was in New Zealand, I was sitting in a room. All the windows were open, of course, because it's perfect temperature there year-round. Honestly, the place is about as close to the Garden of Eden as you can get, I think. But I'm sitting in a room with a room full of young leaders, just engaging on what God's doing in the world today. they begin to share their heart for the same things that young people all over the world share their heart for. The AIDS pandemic in Africa, and how do we really see racial reconciliation, and can we really see a difference made in the lives of the poor? And how do we really live lives of discipleship? I mean, they want to change the world. Just like you want to change the world. And so we posed the question to them, you know, what if there was a way that you could play? What if there was a way that you could participate? You knew how to use your gifts. You knew how to do it in community. Would you be up for that? And it was just a resounding yes. Will someone show us how to do church, how to live church, not just go to meetings and not just serve someone else's vision, but how to really be the church? And you guys, I'm convinced that that's what the Lord has been teaching us. That's what He is teaching us, is how to really be the church, how to give this thing away. So that's what this deal has been all about. And the Lord, I feel like, gave me three words to give you this morning that just kind of will kind of capture kind of where we're going just for this year in terms of vision stuff. You ready? We'll print these on T-shirts next week. T-shirts, mugs, and buttons. Expand, experience, and express. What do you call that? It all starts with the same letter. Yes, one of those. Say it with me. Expand, experience, and express. All right. Here we go. Ready? Everybody say expand.
Expand.
Jeff. Okay. I so want to go through everything. I'm not going to. Quickly, why expand? Why grow? Well, everything that's alive multiplies, right? Foundational principle of both the covenant and the kingdom. Everything that is alive multiplies, reproduces. Yep. You believe that? Isaiah 54, real quick. I can go to lots of other places. Where's Marcia? What's your favorite scripture for multiplication? Like what does it say? Paraphrase, or you probably don't have to paraphrase, but yeah, love it. Lots of places we could go. Here's Isaiah 54. After this most incredible picture of the heart of the Father to send the Son to die that we might have life. That's all of chapter 53. The most poetic, beautiful picture of Jesus' incarnation, His death, and His resurrection. And then as a result of that incredible act of grace, it says in chapter 54, verse 1, "Sing, O childless woman, break forth into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, even though you never gave birth to a child, for the woman who could bear no children now has more than all the other women, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will take over other nations and live in their cities." We are a people of destiny, meaning the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's our mandate to fill the earth with His presence and with His power. And so it is our intention to continue to expand. And when I think about us expanding, I think of two words. I think of church planting. I think of the example of Jesus gathering 12 disciples and doing life with them and then commissioning them to go out and reproduce what He's done with them. I think about the Great Commission, being make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Jesus didn't say, go out and just proclaim and hope that some people believe and pray the prayer. He said, no, go out and make disciples and baptize them and teach them. In other words, gather them into community, just like I've done with you, and walk through life together. And we call that church. That's church. Jesus, the church planter, Paul, the church planter. Paul went to a city. He didn't leave that city until there was a church capable of living and reproducing. A couple of things you guys already know. New churches best reach new generations, new people groups, new networks, and new neighborhoods. An average new church gets 60 to 80% of their new members from the unchurched or the dechurched. If a church is 10 years old, it gets 90% of its members from other churches. So, if you haven't figured it out already, this whole house church deal is a massive setup to get people to go and plant churches. Now, I'm a part of an international church planting network. And in that network, we budget between $100,000 and $200,000 to plant a church, just based on what people are doing, primarily in the United States. And that involves marketing and other things. We plant churches for free. Don't tell anybody. And we do it a lot quicker. And we use moms and dads and business people and students and doctors and teachers. And instead of just putting a building on a street corner, we send these churches out into the neighborhoods and into the workplaces. That's the strategy. You realize, where's house church leaders? You realize your church planters? Where are the house church leaders? What in the world? And if the average church in this country is about 30 people, and it is, then I'll defend to the end that we are primarily a church planting movement that's trying to give this thing away. So, ultimately, why do we want to expand? It's the heart of the Lord in Luke 15. Something's been lost, and the heart of the Father is to find what was lost and see that thing restored, that all heaven might rejoice. Most people in this city do not have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Every social structure, every school, every government structure, every business, every part of education, every part of the health system needs the people of Jesus to bring his presence there. That's why we want to expand. Every house church, a church plant. Every celebration, a church plant. Every new city, a church plant. So, we've said in faith this year we're praying for 15 new house churches. That means, what, two-thirds of our house churches will reproduce this year. Now raise your hand if you'll pray for 15 new house churches this year. We're praying for 15 new house churches, which means existing house churches multiplying, but we're praying for two new house churches in each of these three very specific domains. The medical community. Raise your hand if you're involved in the medical community. All right. God may be calling you guys to plant new house churches this year. The business community. How many business people? Yep. Now, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, will you pray about, is God calling me to plant a church in the business community this year? And if he is, will you want to get in an existing house church if you're not already? Begin to go through the training and find out how things work. Arts and entertainment. We're asking for two new house churches in the arts and entertainment domain of the Oklahoma City area this year. How many of you guys are involved in arts or entertainment? Yeah, lots of you. Well, maybe we should really have a lot more than that then. And then finally, government. We're asking for two new house churches that are focused on the government domain. Who's involved in working in government? And who knows what it'll be? Will it be someone who plants a new house church that's focused on coming alongside DHS? Or will it be one that's focused on, reaching out to state legislators? Or probably 15 things I haven't thought of. 15 new house churches, two new house churches in those domains, three new celebrations. Celebrations, just a bunch of our house churches coming together to go for it, saying we have missional unity together. And we think one of those is emerging in Edmond around the tribe. We think one of those is emerging in urban Oklahoma City, and we think one of those is emerging in the village. You'll hear a lot more about that stuff as we go on, but what that means is just making more space for more house churches to connect, for more leaders to be raised up. Right now, we have one kind of venue this size for leaders who are, you know, gifted leaders of hundreds to preach, lead worship, teach, equip. Wouldn't it be awesome to have at least three more spaces for people who God's already raised up in this body to be able to exercise their gifts in that way and just to be able to raise up more house churches in those areas? So we're praying for three new celebrations. We're praying for one new church plant outside of Oklahoma City. And that we probably need to be praying for at least two because two are already in the works. One of them is New York City. Another one is Atlanta. Will you pray about moving to New York City or to Atlanta this year? Really, will you pray about moving to New York City or to Atlanta this year? And we already have leaders in place who feel vision and call to those places. We already have relationships in place. Will you consider going? And who knows? Maybe God just sent some zinger into your heart and you've never thought about that at all. And we're not asking you to quit jobs, or we're saying go there and do what you do. You know, be an educator, be a business person, but just connect in community, in missional community, like you do here. Guys, we've said it for years and now we know it's true. We've seen it all over the world. If you can lead a house church in Oklahoma City, you can plant a church in any culture, any place in the world. It may cost you your life in terms of just, you know, struggle and sacrifice and that kind of thing, but it doesn't cost a dime in terms of marketing or promotion or buildings or those kinds of things. And then the last kind of numerical thing for the year, as we gathered the house church leaders together and we were just praying through this stuff and talking through it and saying, is this what's on God's heart for us this year? We felt like we needed some kind of just something to say, you know, do we know that people are being added to the kingdom? And it seemed like baptism was probably the best just thing that we could at least say, well, let's focus there just to know how we're doing. And so we said, well, maybe, you know, we kind of prayed through it and thought through it and said, well, maybe 50 baptisms this year. Would that be right? And one of the house church pastors said, I think the Lord wants 50 baptisms in a month. And so we all kind of thought it through and said, yeah, we think that's right. And so will you pray with us for 50 baptisms in 1 month? Now, guys, let me tell you something. I grew up Southern Baptist, which means that most weeks, you know, there was a big board up at the front of the church that said how many we dunked and how many we came down forward for decisions and how many were in Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. So don't come to me afterwards and say, what's this counting business? You know, I thought this wasn't that kind of a church. The challenge is if you're not praying toward anything, if you haven't sought the Lord and said, Lord, we know you want to multiply. How do you want to multiply us? What is it that you want us to be praying for? Well, then, where are you going? What are you doing? Every year we set these kind of goals as a leadership team. And most years we never share them publicly. We just thought, well, that's silly. Why wouldn't we want everyone praying for the stuff that we're believing for and working for? Does that make sense? I've never seen more of a strategist than the Apostle Paul. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, where he wanted to go, how many, how much, but he was totally open for the Lord to give him mid-course corrections. Yeah? So we want to use that strategy. All right, expand. Second, experience. And I'm not going to dwell on this. but it will be everyone's experience this year to really see a lifestyle of accountability through huddles and D groups. So if you've not been in a D group before, or if you're a leader and you haven't been huddled, this year everyone who wants to will get to experience the freedom, and I mean freedom, that comes from a lifestyle of accountability. And you'll hear much more about that. But I want to put it out there so that you know what we're going for this year. And then finally, express. And there are two things that as we prayed through that will become expressions of our lives this year in a particular way. Why these two? I'm not really sure. But the more we pray through and think through, it seems like, yep, that's exactly what the Lord's saying for this year. One of them is worship. So we're going to spend, after next week, we'll spend the next month going back to the Scriptures and saying, Lord, teach us to worship again. Teach us about thanksgiving. Teach us about praise. Teach us about what kind of a heart comes before you to worship. What is celebration really supposed to be like? You know, this church was born out, you know, when several kind of wells were dug by the Lord, but one of the central ones that we really drank from was this well of worship. And we just sensed the Lord saying, go and clean it out. Dig it out. I want to make it bigger. I want to make it more than you've ever imagined that it could be. And so we're going for it in worship this year. And we're just saying, Lord, teach us all over again what it means to be a worshiping people. Not just in this room, but in our houses, in our house churches, in the streets. Like, teach us again what it means to be a worshiping people. So raise your hand if you'll pray and if you'll just go for it personally and worship this year. Does that feel right? I mean, and the other piece, and this, if you had to pin me down and say, like, is there a kind of a verse for the year, it'd be this one. We talked a couple of weeks ago about just how the Lord wants us to take the ground that he's already won for us. How do you do that? And I want to read to you a verse in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they have defeated him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of their testimony. And they have defeated him, Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of their testimony. When the covenant people of God, that's us, who know who they are in Jesus, know what they have in him, begin to express in testimony the things that the Lord's doing among them, around them, through them. It's not just a sweet idea. It's not just nice stories to listen to. It's powerful warfare. It's kingdom advancing, ground taking, power pack stuff. When Adrienne stands up here this morning and in her sweet way explains what God's done through their house church and reads that letter, I mean, it is like, that's what Revelation 12 says. You believe that? It's a powerful weapon in our hands. So we're going to kind of go berserk this year with stories, which means, I mean, we are us. So no one's going to do it for us. That means we want you to be bold in sharing what the Lord's doing, in sharing the healing that takes place, the salvation that takes place, the lives touched and the lives changed. And we're believing that by the word of our testimony, we'll take ground this year. Amen? So in house church, in your families, we'll do more teaching on all this stuff, but here on as we celebrate together, anytime we get together, what we're saying is this year we feel like the Lord's saying to us, tell your stories. You want to take the ground that I've won for you? Tell your stories. Tell them over and over and over. And as a people, our number one fear is getting up in front of people and talking. We just feel stupid and believe me, I understand all that. So I'm asking us to be really bold this year and say, you know what, this isn't about me. It's not about whether I sound eloquent or not. This is about giving God glory for the things that he's doing among us. So we're going for it in story this year.
Does that sound good? You guys up for all that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you realize that you're famous all over the world. And so you never realize what you got when you're there. But you guys have something really special. And I'm convinced that even though we're on the 1 yard line, if we can really become people who are really going for missional community, meaning a lifestyle of discipleship that sees things change, we'll be able to invite lots and lots and lots of brothers and sisters all over the world into just the encouragement of seeing a different way of doing church. And it's not insignificant. So, Lord, we love you. And we know you're so faithful to change us. We know you're so faithful to make us like you. We know you're so gracious to us. We're asking you this morning and throughout this year to do these things in us. Expand our territory. Expand us. Move us out. We thank you for the ground you gave us last year. Lord, we're asking for more. We're asking for lots more. More house churches. More church planters. More people who are becoming your disciples. We're asking for more. Multiply us. Use us. Reproduce us. Expand us. Lord, would you give every person who wants it the experience of real accountability this year? We want to be people who are characterized by obedience. We know that's your heart, and it's our heart as well. And then, Lord, we're asking that you make us a people who express our hearts this year through worship and through powerful testimony. You're the word person, Father. Would you put the words in our lives, around us, on our lips, the words that, when expressed, take the ground that you've won and push back the kingdom of darkness for your glory. Now, Lord, would you just come and just encourage your people?